Welcome to Blanket and Covers, the show where we cover the covers. My name's Danny Getz, and with me, as always, is John Trainer. What's up, John?
Hey Dan, how are you doing?
Oh, I am good. It is my first full day of spring break, and
Woohoo!
I spent it, cuddling up with my dog, watching a variety of movies.
Love
I
that.
just,
Yeah, it's a wild spring break.
yeah, I started my day with a 3 mile walk so that the dog would let me watch movies, and then I watched Earth Girls Are Easy, followed by 12 Angry Men, a great double feature.
Hey, you're just explaining 12 Angry Men to me. I think I got it mixed up with 13 Monkeys or something.
Oh, what's that? Wait, 13
13 Monkeys?
monkeys. How many monkeys is it? 12 monkeys? It's 12
Maybe it's
monkeys.
12 Monkeys. Okay, that's why I got it mixed
It's
up.
12 monkeys, 13 ghosts. I'm going to see that in theater in May. I'm going to a drive-in to see 13 ghosts, both versions
Really?
of 13 ghosts, like the old William Castle one and then like the 90s remake. And I'm very excited. I love both versions.
Ooh, nice.
Maybe we'll do something to align with that in May. Come up with some sort of ghost song we can do. But what are we doing today?
We are doing Proud Mary,
Yes, we are.
which we all know is an original by Creedence Clearwater Revival, right?
Yes, of course. It's
Everybody knew that.
definitely a Creedence Clearwater Revival song, and we all always knew that they were the originators, that John Fogerty wrote it for the album that's also called that. We all knew that. Like
Yeah,
that's
nobody was surprised by this at
yeah.
all.
That wasn't any new information for anybody, obviously. And fans of our show, they clearly know that. They weren't also under the perception that all of these famous people were covering a much older song. That's who would think that? That's such a weird
Course
thing to
not.
think. Because I mean, when you have two distinctly different great versions, like the CCR version and the one that we're going to play first, there's no way that they could be so close in time contemporarily to each other, and actually be a cover. So like,
It's
it is
very,
it's kind of weird.
it's very, I'll always love you.
There's a little bit of story to it. We'll get to it as we go through here because it unfolds in the first two songs we're going to play. But let's play the first one. It is one of the most famous covers of all time, and so famous that there's a very clear distinction between people covering CCR and people covering this one. It is Ike and Tina Turner.
Yeah, which actually I was surprised. I thought this was just a Tina Turner song. Like I've my whole life I've seen Tina Turner doing her dance
Oh
in
yeah.
the sparkly dress to this
It is
song.
iconic. And apparently
Yeah.
that was a 90s
There's just one thing
thing. Like that is
to
when she
say.
re-recorded it in the
Yeah.
90s. That's when that came about.
Yeah, so that's I thought Tina Turner, when I heard that this was covered in the 90s, because I always thought, honestly, I thought this was an Aretha Franklin original.
Easy.
I don't know
Oh,
why that
really?
was just an assumption. Yeah, I don't know. I just had it in my head that that was true. And then Tina Turner was covering it in the 90s. And so I learned this week that Ike and Tina Turner had done this in the 60s first.
Listen to the story now.
Or 1970, sorry.
Yeah. Like a lot of people covered it before she did. And like a lot of like very notable people, like the next person especially, it was a hit for the next person.
Yeah,
But
but this is
like
like
we're gonna hit on
probably
most
the
of them.
best. Yeah,
Oh
we're
yeah.
sort of starting at the top of the first tier.
Yeah, and like the fun part about it is like you look at all the different people, like very distinct people. Like you're like Gary Lewis and the Playboys, or like Conway Twitty. I'm just naming names that we're not including on the episode. But like you get that type of person all taking a shot at it, and then Ike and Tina come in, and it's like, oh, did anything happen before this? Like
I
I don't think any of that actually registered. This is the version.
I mean, they started the slow first half and the super fast second half of this song. Like
And
everybody
they,
who does that after this is doing a Tina Turner cover.
yeah, and like they call it out too. Like he starts his part, but the whole intro of the song is just her talking, like, All right, so here's what we're going to do. It's going to start out real slow. I don't want anyone to be surprised. You know, I know you expect some force from me because I'm Tina Turner. We're going to get to it. It's like setting expectations.
It's such a fun switch, though, and right, like, it's right at the halfway point.
I feel like there's a lot of versions of this song that Tina Turner herself has done.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, I mean, like, she's done it with a lot of people. Like, I know she did it with Cher at one point.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I think it's her 80s version. The one that she does live is probably, like, the big iconic one. I think that's where the dress comes from.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, burned into my mind. Diva. I love that drum sound. The snare sound in this song is just like so snappy,
right? Isn't it a shame that they he was a terrible person to her, and this is what came out of it? That, like, you don't want something to celebrate when you know it was such a tumultuous relationship, but, like, they made some great stuff.
I know. The Ike Turner album, Ike Turner and the Kings of Rhythm, A Black Man's Soul, from 1 year earlier in 69, is so good. But yeah, it's a bit hard to separate.
Yeah, and, like, it's a testament to her, too, that, like, that's become his legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, especially for somebody who is, like, you know, top billing when they were together, for her to pass him so, like, so greatly. It's cool that the world let it happen.
Oh, yeah. I know, such a sad story. I was brushing up on it when we were doing research for this. And he was a bad guy. He was abusive to Tina Turner, just so we're being really, really clear.
Yeah. But now we're into one that, you know, this one was a success of its own. It was a, top 100 charting song in 1969. And apparently, as the story goes, is the direct, like, one-to-one of how we ended up getting that Ike and Tina version. It is the Solomon Burke version.
I didn't realize Solomon Burke is he's a big man.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of you folks would like to know what the old Proud Mary is all about. Well, I'd like to tell you about her. She's, and, like, this is, like, right away. Like, Creedence came out in December. This was April. And he was able to take this song and turn it into this, like, awareness of black people that the song did not have before.
Yeah, I don't think I knew Proud Mary was a boat.
That's very funny.
Is it a very famous boat?
I mean, I don't know anything about it in real life, but, I mean, in the song, it's very clearly about a riverboat. You know the big wheel on the back of a riverboat?
Yeah.
And all the gambling.
Is that what's rolling?
On riverboats? Yeah, the big wheel keeps on turning.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. I'm a vibes man.
Yeah. Oh, this song is great for vibes.
Yeah. If you told me, hey, you gotta listen to this song, it's about a boat, I probably wouldn't even pay attention.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to find some other boat songs.
Okay, yeah, I'll let you know if I knew it was about a boat.
I'll send you a song called Titanic and see if it's something that comes across.
It's interesting it's very interesting hearing how like straight ahead this is pre Ike and Tina.
Yeah.
Because it almost sounds a little boring.
Yeah, he's apparently the one who put the bug in Ike Turner's ear to be like, you two could destroy this song. Like, go get after this. Can't you
see I'm not just rolling? It does fit nicely into like a soul genre. I love all the little horns too.
There's something about like the soul singers of this era too that like they know how to hit like just the right way. But, like they can go real easy, like almost phoning it in, but then they all have that like signature sound that they all know how to turn on at exactly the right time to be like, oh, this is it.
Yeah. What's like a Solomon Burke song you'd recommend checking out?
That's a great question. I don't really know Solomon Burke well enough to say, but I do have a couple albums saved that I can send your way. But I mean, I think this might be the only album I've listened to in full. It's got a few other. I mean, I think we talked about it. No, because we ended up doing "You Send Me" because he does a "Change Is Gonna Come" on this album also.
Okay,
that is, it's real good. But yeah, there's a lot of covers on it. I don't remember if it's all covers.
Yeah, he's like a contemporary of Sam Cooke, right?
Yeah, like late '60s.
Okay.
But yeah, he also did The Mighty Quinn, I think it was. Or Quinn the Eskimo, one of those. But yeah, he has a lot of in the world of pop music of the time, there's a lot of Solomon Burke versions of those songs.
I love that. That's been such a fun time to hear a song like that and then just hear it pop up on the radio all the time. It's different artists.
The thing I was reading with him, that as his Proud Mary was like being successful, he really didn't have any idea. There was no intentional backing of it. So as it was blowing up, he was just kind of a touring musician and didn't know really that he had a top 100 song because nobody was really trying to make it happen.
Whoa, that's awesome.
It just kind of happened. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we are staying in the 60s for our next one with Senor Soul. Although I don't know if this one specifically is from the 60s, but I know they're a 60s band.
Yeah, this is 69.
There's a lot of 69 and 70, and like it settles out a little bit, like mid-70s, and then, you know, Tina Turner brings it back again.
I love the way these like 60s and 70s soul, funk, salsa, they have this incredible sound. I always made fun of or kind of teased, you know, like, oh, a tape sounds so much better. Like, things just don't sound the same these days. But I don't know. The longer we do this show, I'm starting to hear it. I'm like, hey, things just don't sound the same these days. Like, I'd love to hear somebody make this album now and sound like this.
It's hard to recreate sound because it wasn't intentional.
I know. Coal Mine Records is the closest. They're really good at the like soul revival thing. That's like Duran Jones and
okay.
I can't remember any of the other ones off the top of my head, but they have some really cool comps. Even Sharon Jones, she like gets the sound a little bit. Almost.
I mean, that's kind of carryover, though. I think that's much like a lot of doing it how you've always done it, I imagine, with her.
Yeah. I love that little syncopation there.
Yeah.
Hey, this one's such a jam. I'd never heard of Señor Sol.
Yeah, I don't know too much about them. Like, they look like one of those acts that would just be fun. They're like,
oh my gosh.
Their only goal is party starting. Like,
they did a Heard It Through the Grapevine, and apparently we added it. I must have added it onto a list. I wonder if we just never got around to it. Well, it's awesome.
Yeah, I love that was like as close to instrumental as you can get.
Yeah.
Without being like by the letter instrumental. But we're going from there into, you know, Philly soul legend. It's Billy Paul.
You know, I love localizing it.
Yeah.
We had to include it.
Yeah, it feels, you know, weird for me being in my, you know, late 30s and in the 2020s to be like, yeah, Billy Paul is one of ours. But yeah, that Philly soul scene is like so far before my time, but it is like the thing that permeates through Philadelphia music.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's a good legacy.
I like the rhythm in this one too. He sings like a little in front of the beat.
Yeah, he has a way of like kind of going around it that is so infectious. And like the best example I can think of for it is July, 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 where like it's one of those just like confident songs where like you can tell he knows where he's supposed to be and he knows he's going to get back there so he can mess around a little.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this is like. He has a little bit of a Aaron Neville cadence too.
Oh yeah. I gotta let the dog out. We're back. Bet you're gonna find some people who live. You don't have to worry, cause you don't have to have money. People on the river are happy to give.
Piano's so nice in this one too. I mean, the vocals, the piano, the bass, and the drums are all kind of meshing together like jazz a little bit.
Yeah.
I love that. I want to listen to some more Billy Paul too. There's a lot of new stuff on this episode already that I'm like, keep adding.
Yeah, Billy Paul, I can definitely send you some a primer on Billy Paul. It's well worth your time. He does a lot of really cool stuff in his range that like sometimes it's like shocking. You'd be like, oh, what's he doing up there? It's really cool. The next one, you know, somewhat famous in their own right now too, where it's just a bunch of like heavy hitters to start. It's Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
I had never heard of them before. I love the guitar and the saxophone going back and forth, though.
I want to say he was Motown. I think that was my initial in for him was, you know, doing a run through Motown stuff. But
oh, yeah.
If not directly Motown, but it would be tangentially Motown.
Oh, wait. Yeah, yeah, no, this is, yeah, he's a Motown artist.
Oh,
It said here Walker's record label Motown Records, and I was like, did he start Motown Records?
Oh, that's got to be a different Motown.
No. I think he was signed to it.
Saying like the label he was on. Okay, I gotcha. Because yeah. I know there are a few like that. Like, wasn't it like Chess Records or whatever? It was like, you can't do that. There's already one of those, and like somehow one.
I don't know. I don't know that story. And Chess is a, they're like Chicago Blues label, I think, right?
Yeah, it's like one of those.
Even like the strings in this one is so interesting. The strings with like the echoey guitar. I really like the composition of this one.
Yeah, the thing that makes this one stand out to me is the vocal cadence. Because like, you can tell he knows the song. They're like, he's very familiar with any version of this song, but he's not exactly interested in copying.
Oh yeah, I've been getting really into Stax, and I don't really listen to a lot of Motown, but I feel like I should now, especially this. Like, I'm really into this.
Oh yeah.
Man, those strings are so interesting in this.
Yeah, they seem kind of out of place. Like, if you heard that isolated track, you'd be like struggling to guess what song it came from.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually going to say the opposite. Like, it feels really natural, and it feels like it's in just the right place, but I would have never thought to do it. Like, and if you'd suggested like putting strings in this, I'd be like, that sounds crazy. Isn't there saxophone and guitar and like a nice rock beat, but it like fits in kind of nicely.
Now we could have continued down this, you know, legendary vocalist path, but your opinion won out on this one. And I had to take Tom Jones off the list, even though I think he crushes this song. But instead of going with Tom Jones, we're going with Joe Dolan, who is equally good.
Very interesting. It's like
did it sound like I meant it?
Thank you, Dan, for deferring to me on this one. I feel like I've heard enough Tom Jones.
I mean, yeah, we've talked about Tom Jones a lot on this show.
Yeah. I think this one's really fun. Yeah, he's an Irish singer. 60s? This song was this is off of a best of, and so now I don't know, but his first hit was a cover of Del Shannon's Answer to Everything. Only Irish singer to reach the top 10 in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. That's awesome.
Yeah. Is that one of those where it's like all the same songs?
I don't think so. It seems like he had a string of hits over these years. I've never heard of any of them. One's called Aching Breaking Heart, which
it's not the same.
That's the same one.
Not
I'm
the same.
He put out a cover album in 1998 called Joe's 90s, where he interpreted songs by Blur, Oasis, and Pulp.
Oh wow!
And then he did another one called 21st Century Joe in 99, and it featured songs by Bowie, U2, REM, and Bruce Springsteen. This sounds like another episode.
Okay. Yeah, make a note of that.
Seriously. I think this one's really fun. It has a little bit of the showmanship that Tom Jones has, but it tones down the Tom Jonesness of it. And I think it adds like a little, honestly, it adds like a little more feeling, I think, a little more soul to it. Still pretty straightforward, but it has that, I think it's maybe the horns that gives me the like, it's like Tom Jones, but I like it more.
Yeah, I feel like the big difference is if you were like, Tom Jones put out an album that had all these things, you'd be like, yeah, of course he did. But Joe Dolan does it, you're like, cool, let's do it.
It's true. It's like, I don't need to know anything else about Tom Jones. I feel like my head is full of enough Tom Jones knowledge right now. I want to learn about Joe Dolan.
Yeah.
And what makes him even more mysterious is the only stuff he has on Spotify is from Best Of albums.
Ooh.
Who knows what you're missing out there? Well, it does feel he's on like St. Patrick's Day comps, which feels
so he probably
reductive.
Has one of those like, you know,
he
Danny
must
Boy,
right?
Or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if he's annoyed. He's like, don't put me on these. I do Proud Mary.
More than that.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of more than that, this next one, it might be the one that kind of caught me the most off guard, which, you know, says a lot for one of the most famous musicians of all time. It's Elvis Presley.
So you texted me about this and you were like, you got to listen to the Elvis one. It sounds kind of punk.
Yeah. It's got some of that edge to it.
Well, when you said that, it made me think of the incredible Chicago artist that I saw, Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
Who did a kind of like a lo-fi punk comedy interpretation of Elvis, essentially. And it's all I can think of now every time I hear Elvis. And so when you said it's kind of punk, I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense, actually. Elvis, of course, is Elvis with an E.
Yes.
I think it might be like the live sounding. Like, it's not super produced. Guitar, bass, and drums, right?
Seems like it, yeah.
With a little, you know, it's a little sped up, little rock and roll sound to it. Like, it's not really distorted, but it has like a bit of edge. It sounds live, you know, especially the guitar. It's like not played perfectly. Sounds more like a jam. Ooh, and I love the key change. To see what this is on, and it's off of an album called Elvis on Tour. But does that mean that it's live? I don't know. Holy moly, this is a 6 album record. No, I think this is recorded. This is not live. I mean, it definitely has like a Yeah, it has like a fun off-the-cuff feel to it.
All right, we will be back to the show in a minute. We just wanted to take a step away here and give you the full rundown of our newly launched Patreon. It is up. It is public. The first episode should be out there by now, but you also get a lot of benefits. Whether that's there or not, you get all the benefits right away. So let's take them through it. You ready?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm ready. I've been really looking forward to this. I can't wait to take people along for this ride. There's some really fun stuff in here.
So the first level, the kind of The very basic, we just have a $1 level. Everything is kind of based on release formats. So this is the single level. So we're looking at a 45 or a single or anything of that ilk, but it is it's a $1 a month tier. Not any major financial commitment. You get no ads, so you won't have to hear us doing this if you pay us $1. And then you will you'll get Discord access, which means you can jump in. We have good conversations going over there from time to time with each episode, and the more the merrier. So hop in there. Also, if you don't want to give us a dollar, just tell us you want to be part of the Discord. We'll probably take care of that anyway. But the ad-free content is the big part of that first tier. But things start to get really good for our EP tier. This is the one I would recommend for the people who are unsure about it. You get the ad-free content, you get the Discord, but you also get the early access, and you'll be getting two or three extra episodes a month for the $5.
Yeah, this is the stuff we're really excited about. This is like, all right, Dan and I don't have all the time in the world. We're like, we're going to do it every other week. We'll be planning a lot of really fun episodes. That never stops. Has nothing to do with the Patreon. But, when Dan and I stop recording, and Dan can't stop talking about the Masked Singer, and we're like, should we do a Masked Singer rewatch? This is where things like that would go. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for some really fun stuff here.
Yeah, we'll have interviews. We'll have kind of the shorter episodes for stuff that doesn't have the full repertoire of covers, but we have like one or two covers that we really like. This is where those episodes will exist. We'll get little addendums, stuff that had to be cut for time will all show up here. So you get a lot for your money at the $5 level.
The completest level.
Yeah, you get all the stuff. You get, I should say, I forgot what the $1 level. You get the outlines and stuff, too, and all that stuff. So if you are interested in the behind-the-scenes part, you get all that for the $1, and then everything is there for every tier below it. So the next one is the LP tier. So we're going full-length here, the $10 tier. You get the ad-free content, the Discord, the early access, the exclusive other episodes. But then you also get to be in on the conversation here now. This is where, if you are giving us the $10 a month at the LP level, you get to place your requests, and we will take them. Like, we will be beholden to the requests. If you are making them, those episodes will come out. Oh, and merch. You also get all various forms of merch. This is not quite the apparel level. We do have one that is that. This is more the stickers and pins and buttons and any kind of random design stuff that we hit on throughout the episodes. This is where you'll be getting those things for the $10 a month part. Now, we have two left. These are the more lofty tiers, but I love what you
aspirational.
Get. Yeah. If anybody joins these, I will be surprised and thrilled, because I do want people in at this level, because in addition to all the other stuff we were talking about, you also get to become a guest on the show. So you can throw out your request for what you would like to do, and we will build an episode for you to come on and be the guest on. And then you also will get a t-shirt at that level. That's where the apparel stuff starts coming into play.
And this is where Dan gets excited, because Dan has a lot of t-shirt ideas.
Oh yeah, I love making t-shirts, and who knows? If people do come in at that level, maybe I'll just start pumping them out there, and you'll get one, probably not monthly, but it's not just a one and done. You get a t-shirt and we move it on.
A whole wardrobe.
Yeah, you can blanket your body in blanket and covers t-shirts. But I do want to make a wind t-shirt. Harken back to the old days. We haven't mentioned them in a long time, but I do want to make a wind shirt. But we have one more, and this is the one that I would be so happy if anybody joined at this level. It is the $30 box set. You get all the stuff from the other ones, the ad-free content, the Discord, the early access, the exclusive stuff. You get the make a request, you get merch, you get t-shirts, you get to be on an episode. But the one that makes this so much more exciting than all of the other ones for me You get to be part of our album of the month club.
This is what I'd be so excited. I like I would curate this so hard. This would be all I would think about all month is what to put in that.
I've already started kind of building a list of like what is the one that I want to represent us. And like I have like two or three that like, all right, so if somebody joins now, their first one will be in January. What's a great January album? So I'm putting a lot of thought into this already, and we are just launching. So it's a lot of exciting stuff, lots of different tiers to jump in. If you want to jump in at $1, that's great. You get all the stuff that you get there, and we really appreciate anything you're willing to give us. But also, if you're just here listening for free and you're skipping through this, waiting for us to get back to the episode, thank you for that anyway. The listens yes. go a long way. We really appreciate it. And with that, we will jump you back into the rest of the episode. Thanks.
Thank you.
I say, let's listen to take two of Proud Mary and see if it's any different. This is what happens when Dan's not here to hold us back. Not hold us back, but rein us in is really what I mean. It has like a Grateful Dead feel to it. I wonder if there is a Grateful Dead cover of this. No, there's not. This is making me sound like there should be, though. I think I like this one better. Can't wait for Dan to get back so I could show him this. Oh, and he's back. Hey, Dan, so what'd you miss?
Can't wait to see what the edit was.
I've been taking the listeners down a different takes of Proud Mary sidetrack here.
Okay.
There's a take two that is, I think, better. I'm like more into it. And in fact, you know what? I'm going to take you back to the beginning and tell me if this doesn't sound a little bit like the Grateful Dead. All right. Well, you missed Proud Mary take two. It's pretty sweet. That's like a Grateful Dead sound. That's pretty much what you missed.
Well, I'll hear it in the edit.
I faded out of it and I said, I wonder what Dan will leave in here.
Yeah.
And I've been waiting.
Some of it has made the edit for sure. At this point, while we're talking, can't tell you. No idea.
Perfect.
Yeah, weirdly, you know, not what I expected when I saw Elvis on the list, but Elvis is leading us into our punk rock kind of harder edge section of the show here. We're going with the Pee-wees.
Yeah, this is really fun. 1990, what is it? No, this is 2001. But they're like a 90s band. I mean, it has that kind of grunge sound still, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's like grunge with that kind of like rockabilly. Oh, wow. They put it on album this year.
Oh, already?
Yeah. So this one is off of Dead End City. The new album, it looks like maybe it hasn't come out yet, or it's just not on Spotify. But it is called One Ride.
All right.
Let's see if I can find anything about it. Oh, wow. Yeah. 6 days ago, they released the new single, The Wolf. 1 week All ago, right. The album was available for pre-save, for pre-order.
And now they're on our show. What a big come up for them.
Oh, wow. It'll be out it'll be out April 1st, so a few days after recording this. So when you're hearing this, it's out. Go check it out. We haven't heard it yet. It's like, I know, what do they call the 58 sound? What's that band?
Gaslight Anthem, the 59 sound?
Gaslight Anthem, the 59 sound, yeah. I was going to say it's like proto Gaslight Anthem. Gaslight Anthem is, you know, 50s revival punk.
Yeah.
This does have a little bit of that kind of like 60s.
Getting back to the punk of it.
Yeah. It's like an infinite loop there, though.
From there, we're going to the Acid Drinkers.
Yes, this is very fun, so get ready.
Yeah, this is something.
It has kind of a silly start. This is Polish thrash metal. Hardcore kind of thrash metal. Like, and it's 1998, so just keep that in mind when the guitar comes in.
When the shift happens.
That's a bit of a, you know, seven string guitar sound. But I do love that they're doing the Tina Turner thing, you know, starting off slow and then hitting it hard.
It would be fun if they did like their own version of her intro speech.
And so there's a little new metal in there. And this is an 80s band. And so this is an 80s band in 1998. Such a weird groove. Like, maybe I'm just not thinking about it right, but I don't really hear the... Yeah, like... In the original, you know? At least the
it
rhythm
does feel
made.
Like they're kind of missing that part because they're hitting everything else
extra,
kind of like,
you know?
On the nose, but they're kind of skipping that part in a way.
Well, they're like they take the swing out of that whole section, or you know, like it
yeah.
makes it really rigid sounding. Which is like the point. Wow, they put out 14 albums. Last one was 2014. I love thrash metal so much. It sounds like they're trying to get a little more kind of new metal-y, but you can't take the thrash solos out of a thrash metal band. Man, this band does a lot of covers.
Really?
Yeah, there's one album they do, Bad Reputation, Seasons of the Abyss, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, Nothing Else Matters, Detroit Rock City, Ring of Fire, Love Shack.
All right.
Did I already say New York, New York?
See, I figured when this was listed as a bonus track that it was like, nah, you'll get one fun one. But like, it's an interesting revelation that they just do it.
Want to hear a little bit of any of these? See what Bad Reputation sounds like?
Sure.
Yeah. I know, we have...
All right, I've heard enough.
And we got a lot to do here. We've gone off on enough tracks, checking out different takes of Elvis's Proud Mary.
Or we might not have.
Or maybe we didn't. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, maybe we didn't do that. Who knows? We'll all find out together. In the meantime, we're going to listen to Lightning Born.
Yeah, this is my favorite. I think probably my favorite heavy one.
I mean, look at the art for this.
Oh yeah, we get a Doom Proud Mary. Yeah, this is off of a double album called Burn on the Bayou, a heavy underground tribute to CCR. And I've never heard of, I don't think, any of these bands. But the names, you just know it's going to be awesome. War Cloud, Thunder Horse. Stone Birds, like, this is clearly a doom metal top. End of Age, Fuzz Evil,
and then Double Stone.
Although High Priestess actually sounds familiar. I love how these bands just, like, they keep it in the groove the whole time. It, like, never leaves, you know?
Yeah. Like, this is a song, like, as we've found a few times here, that, like, you could play with it if you want, but, like, a lot of the heavy bands are just, you know, sitting in it.
Yeah, but they're making this a doom song.
I mean, this one more so than the other ones translate better, I think.
Yeah, because CCR is kind of chugs, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody else plays at the tempo like Tina and Ike. And this is, I mean, this is this year, I think? This is 2023, so this came out last year. And so, yeah, they're doing the CCR version of it, and they're just, yeah, they're taking it and they're doomifying it. I'm so into this kind of music now, Dan. Every time we hear a good one of these, I will add it. I will include it. What do you think of this kind of metal?
I need there to be melody, so like this one's working for me. But like a lot of doomier stuff doesn't always work for me because it doesn't have that melody aspect to it. Like, that's what really hooks me about any genre.
Do you ever try to listen to Sleep?
Yeah. I like them enough. Yeah, like they'd be on that list. They've crossed over for me.
Nice. I gotta listen to this whole comp. All of these bands look awesome.
Yeah, I feel like you could get a lot out of this one. I'll wait for your favorites.
Yeah, maybe someday we'll do a CCR episode. Just a stoner CCR.
Alright, let's get out of this one and into the next one.
I could seriously live here forever.
I know you could, which is why we have to go. Don't get attached. But we do have one more. Yeah, we do have one more. We're not out of that territory yet.
Thank you for pulling me out.
Then the next one is hemorrhage.
Yes. This is straight up death metal. 2010 Hemorrhage. And I mean the... Oh, yeah. So, to the untrained ear, this might sound terrible. But this is awesome. This is awesome. If you ever listen to this kind of music, they're kind of crushing it, I think. And especially the way they pull it back a little here. You know, I've not always been a metal guy. I came into this later in life. And so these kind of vocals still, I have a tough time with them. I have a limit, you know. But the more you kind of immerse yourself in this world, you kind of start to get used to it.
Get used to it. It's like jumping into an ice cold pool.
It kind of is like that, honestly.
I didn't want to say like a hot pool. Like, you do have to get used to a hot pool, but this one isn't as comfortable even after you get used to it.
No, it's not. It's like, I think of it now more as like a dirty tone in a guitar. Like, you got to stop thinking about it like a singer. Like, it's not a lead singer anymore, you know? It's just like texture to a song. But yeah, if you check out this Hemorrhage album, you'll see really gross titles, and I'm sure the lyrics are even grosser. Which is so funny that they end with Proud Mary. This is the last song in this, like, pretty gruesome Hemorrhage death metal album.
Love to know why. It's kind of wild. It's like, awesome. You know what? You know what? We need to send you back into the world. You can't stay. So, you know what? Here's a song you know. Maybe you can listen to the radio again after this.
Yeah, and I mean, like, again, like, if I thought anybody was making fun of this, I wouldn't have included it. It doesn't sound like they're making fun of it. It sounds like they pretty legit.
No, yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that impression at all. Yeah. Yeah. The next one we are, I don't know if we could be making a bigger jump to, soften the impact of the last section, but it's Blitz and Trapper now. So everybody relax.
There's nowhere to go up from there. Which is a pretty cool, like, I remember Blitz and Trapper, I think we said this last time, like, Blitz and Trapper, you know, all songs considered from, like, 2009, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This does not sound like how I remember them.
Yeah, Blitz and Trapper also came out last year. I'm like, all right, yeah, everyone knows them and everyone loves them, but I don't know what that's based on. Like, I don't have any issue with them. It's just like, I've never been motivated to actually check it out.
I mean, it didn't sound like this. Yeah, it was kind of...
Well, this is relatively new, isn't it?
Yeah, this is last year. Their bio describes them as indie folk revival.
Yeah.
With that feels more like Blitz and Trapper. Like, they fit in well with Bon Iver and Fleet Foxes and that kind of group, you know?
I like one of those.
I think I like all of them.
Yeah, Fleet Foxes worked for me. And I was like, all right, I got enough of this.
It sounds like they took a turn at some point.
Like that big wheel.
I forgot about a big wheel on this song.
All it ever does, it just keeps on turning.
I mean, I'm going to try to tie it back. It also kind of sits in the pocket like Lightning Born. It kind of has a similar, like, it's a different color, but it's sort of the same take on it. Proud Mary, keep on. forgot there was a banjo in this.
Comes out of nowhere.
It really does. This has like a Beck vibe to it.
We are like leaning into that a little bit, yeah.
It's got like the drum machine and
yeah, I think this folky, is the part that like gets the folk. Yeah, this is the revival tag. This is where they earned right. that. All right, that's a. You know, not a direct lead in to our next section here, but it's the only bridge we could find between the metal and the country. We're going from there to Trucks.
Trucks.
Which is
I've never heard of Trucks.
Funniest name for a band.
It really is. Yeah, Trucks, 90s, 80s, 90s, like pop country. Well, after good
job in a city. Yeah, this is straight from the honky tonks.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Like, I can picture some lady with a perm, like, line dancing to this version.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've almost definitely been in a karaoke bar where somebody sang this version.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not exactly this song or this version, but this vibe. I've been in many karaoke bars where some folks have been singing like this. I was saying to Dan, it reminds me of, you know, like Brooks and Dunn. And we've been growing into our country, new country phase, you know?
We are aging white men.
That's a good point. It's say it like the kids
progression.
Do, though, you know?
Yeah.
This is our, like,
oh, yeah, this is our country era
country,
or whatever.
Country mullet core era.
Yeah.
I mean, this is definitely the CCR version.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I would love to hear a.
I mean, this is them making it their own.
Oh, they definitely make it their own. I would love to hear this kind of band take on the Tina Turner version.
Oh, the soft hard version?
Yeah.
That would be cool. Just like gentle acoustic guitar and then ramp into this.
I wonder. Because you can definitely do the finger picking and stuff.
Yeah.
The
it would work.
Band. I think so. It would be a challenge. Well, if you come down to the real, bet you're gonna find some. I know, you can just picture the glasses smashing against the chain link fence. There's a lot of country takes in this song.
Oh yeah, if there was like country cover bingo, this would be hitting all of it.
Yeah, we had to cut a lot of them out. But we felt like Trucks was an important representation.
Yeah, it's you know, the best of the low tier country, I think. Because
low tier. Whoa,
I only say that because while I like that one, these next two country ones, I think, do something really special with it that one didn't do. But the first one, Anthony Armstrong Jones.
Yes, there's a lot. There was a lot like this, and this is our favorite. Sort of the Conway Twitty.
Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, this is more backwards than Conway Twitty.
Yeah. I mean, Conway Twitty's version, you know. Fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Anthony Armstrong. I obviously never heard of Anthony Armstrong Jones. And I also didn't look into who he is. There's no details immediately available. Feels like a radio song, you know? Country radio in the. I don't know, 60s?
Yeah, it feels like it would be like almost how like Fortunate Son is like the Vietnam song. It feels like this would be the, you know, small town 50s movie driving down the street version.
Yeah. You know, he sings like he is trying to do the CCR thing. Apparently there's a Lord Anthony Armstrong Jones, the first Earl of Snowden.
Oh. Well, la-di-da.
Maybe that's why country Anthony Armstrong Jones got lost in the mix.
If only I were a lord.
I'm looking up a bit more about him. If you come down to the river, oh. Oh, that was a stage name, and he took it from the... Yeah, he took it from the man who married his princess.
Oh.
So that was intentional.
Wild.
Wow, he was a professional former golfer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow, and this song got to 22. Like, his cover of Proud Mary got to 22 on the charts.
Really?
Yeah.
What a life.
Yeah, right? Didn't say what year, though. 69. Wow, how about that?
Oh, so another one of those right away ones.
Yeah. Oh, wow, he stopped. 86. Right. Wow, he's got a big gap between... He only put out three albums in 69 and 70. He did Bad Bad Leroy Brown in 73, a couple other singles, and he did one single in 1986. I'd like to hear that one.
I mean, we could.
I don't think we can. It'll take too long. I don't know how to find it. It's not on Spotify, that's for sure.
All right, yeah. From there, we're staying in country for just a little while longer. It's Bill Emerson and Cliff Waldron.
Yeah, this is obviously my favorite.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah, it's a reissue, so I don't know when exactly this was.
Yeah, this was a tough
I'm
going to
say
on this one.
60s. I'll look it up, though. Left my good job in the city, working for the man every night and... It's just this is like
it is 69 also.
Yeah, perfect. You can tell from the album covers.
Oh yeah. Although I feel like there's a, talk about like revival. I feel like there's a revival of this style of album cover. Just like group of people standing in a field.
Oh yeah. In front of a is that even a powered car?
Yeah.
That might be a wagon.
Yeah, I feel like that doesn't have a motor.
In church clothes. I love the banjo so much.
Oh yeah, me too.
Sometimes I think I'd like to learn how to play the banjo someday. I know it's going to take a lot of dedication.
You'll be the next Steve Martin.
Did he learn later in life? I thought he just always knew how to play.
No, I think he just always knew.
I'll be the next Steve Martin for some other reason.
Yeah, why not? You write little novellas or whatever.
Rolling, rolling, forgot about that. Rolling on the river. It's really fun, isn't it? If you come down to the river, must have been fun to live in, like, I don't know where. I'm just going to assume this is South Virginia. South Virginia? What am I talking about? What's the state I'm thinking of?
Say, is this like
West Virginia? What am I talking about? South
is this
Virginia?
Like a John Denver situation? Of like, I'm talking about Southern West Virginia, actually, or whatever.
No, I meant West Virginia. It must have been interesting to be like, yeah, in an area where these are the bands, all the fun bands to go see in town are. I just like ripping bluegrass bands.
Yeah. Ripping.
they are ripping.
Oh, they are. I just wonder if they had that adjective in 1969.
I mean, honestly, there's a link between bluegrass and thrash metal that is, I think, very obvious. And I enjoy them both kind of in the same way.
I want to do, not that I want to make it, but I want to have somebody make it for me where I can track like the step by step from one to the other.
I mean, they have the same, like
it's there. You can yeah. definitely do it.
Flat
but there,
picking,
there has to be like actual connection.
The, yeah, that's like the country version of it, and you know, shredding is just the metal version. And they do the trading solos. They do the, they keep it fast and in the pocket the whole time. There's like not a lot of dynamic changes, you know. I'm telling you. You can go like this to it. I'm bobbing my head really hard.
It's true.
And I do.
Now, if you want to talk about in the pocket, this next one is somebody who musically is not the most dynamic person, but every time I see his name pop up, I'm like, I know exactly where this is going to be. Like he has his zone in music and he just stays there. It is Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, this is really cool. It's weird and slow. I don't know if I remember any. I feel like we've come across Leonard Nimoy before.
We have. I mean, his biggest hit was Bilbo Baggins, so we haven't touched on that. But
the hell out of Bilbo Baggins.
God, I wonder if we can do an episode on Bilbo Baggins.
I don't know if I know that song.
Oh, it is novelty to end all novelty. It is literally just about okay. Bilbo Baggins.
We can do that. We can do the Garfield song. We can do the, yeah, the two sides of Leonard Nimoy. This is the album that I heard of. I don't really have Leonard Nimoy's voice in my head. I never really watched. I've only watched a little Star Trek.
I feel like he was cool with just like staying in the Spock world. But like he was like, you know what? I'm typecast as Spock things, and you know what? That's fine. But I mean, he had a whole career. I forget what else he did. He directed some stuff that people know and all that kind of nonsense that, you know, fills a career, but I don't remember what any of it is at the moment.
He was on The Simpsons a few times.
I remember as himself.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. That's how I knew
Leonard Nimoy. That X-Files episode, right?
Yeah. And that organ. This is off of a best of, so I don't know, like, did he do, like, when did this happen in comparison to, like, Star Trek? This is all after Star Trek, right?
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine he had any sort of,
What is with the accent?
Great question.
Toynin?
I have no idea where he's from.
I'm gonna find out.
It was funny. There was a few that like really hit that like Toynin and Boynin. And I was like, all right. I don't know if
is that how they say it. Is that how they say it in CCR? I don't think so, right?
No. Maybe.
No, he is from Boston.
I mean, his accent's all over the place. I don't think he's said any of the chorus the same any time.
Strange. So let's see. Yeah, 64, that was Star Trek. Did that until 69. But between 67 and 70, that was his music career. Fascinating.
From there, we're going into the Atomic Forest.
Yeah, get ready. I don't know what's going on here exactly. This is off an album called Disco Roar, 2019. This has got to be a reissue.
Oh, Actually, I don't know. This, unless they like redid the album art too, because the album art looks like the type of, you know, poor quality Photoshop type things.
Yeah, I'm gonna look. See,
I love that background. I love that background.
Crazy, right? It's on some like, it's on an Indian psych comp or a playlist. Let's see if I can find out anything about it. All right, let's see. Yeah, they're an Indian psychedelic band from Mumbai in the 70s. Man, that, I don't even know what it is. It's like an echo and a phaser or something on her voice. Ooh, yeah. Oh, cool. They played with Led Zeppelin.
That's cool.
Yeah, this is a, this is just straight up a, yeah, a comp. 2019. But Now Again Records. Seems like maybe they put out one record in 1981 called Obsession 77. Man, those cymbals sound crazy too. This is really cool.
Yeah, that really, that that background vocal is what sells this song so hard for me.
Yeah, the mix is insane. If you can't hear it on this podcast right now, go look it up. Atomic Forest. It's like all over the place.
All right, let's get out of this one.
I love this so much.
It's amazing. So good. From there, we're going to the Cambodian Space Project.
Yeah, more fun, sort of psych. This is a little more on Earth, though. It's like light psych. You know what's so funny is I've listened to this a few times and I'm only just now recognizing that it's not sung in English. Is on, sounded familiar. They're on this Cambodian tribute to Iggy Pop that I want to do someday.
Oh, cool.
I think I sent them to you before, or this comp at least. They do The Passenger.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do that because I need to hear that, and we don't have time in this episode.
Yeah, there's this band, Duck. I mean, I can't pronounce it. Duck Chiquet. and they do I Want to Be Your Dog, and it's insane. It's so cool. I can't believe I didn't notice that this wasn't in English. So obvious. And they're contemporary, like they 2011, I guess that was their first album. This is from 2017. Oh, cool. Oh, they do The Passenger on this album.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I must not have looked too closely.
Oh, it must have been just pulled for that Cambodian indie pop tribute.
Oh yeah, you got Summer Wine and Blackbird and Superstar. There's a lot of covers on this.
Who's Summer Wine by?
I don't know.
I don't know that song, I don't think.
And maybe it's not a cover. It's just a very familiar name. I don't know.
It made me think of Fountains of Wayne.
That would be real fun. Mixed in with all those, they'd be like, oh, and, you know, Fountains of Wayne. Let's do a Fountains of Wayne.
And it's 2017. Yeah, here we go. Now it gets more spacey. I mean, I don't know anything about, like, Cambodian culture. It's cool that there's so many bands that want to cover Iggy Pop, though. I never thought of Cambodia as being like a huge place.
I wonder.
Is Cambodia a huge place?
I mean, probably not, right?
I mean, it's way smaller than Thailand. It's like the same size as Vietnam-ish. It's really pretty the way she's singing it. I mean, like, phonetically.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, when you stop and listen, like, closer outside of the music being such a close cover, you're realizing that, like, he has to do a lot of work to stay with it with the language change. Because the music's pretty spot on, but, like, because of that, and because it's so overdriven, that it's like, oh yeah, this is Proud Mary, obviously. But then you listen to her singing, and you're like, oh no, this is something. Like, this is really something extra.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? That's one of my favorite. That's one of the reasons why I love listening to songs in other languages.
Well, we don't have any more of that. At least for now, we are going from there into Margot Price.
Yeah, this is a live off of a live album called Perfectly Imperfect in 2020. Definitely a CCR take. Left a good job in the city. I always get mixed up between Margot Price and Margot and the Nuclear So-Sos.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I clicked on this at first. And I know she's like a big, I think she's a big country star, right?
Yeah, I want to say yes, but now that you're bringing up your confusion, I'm like...
I know. She does a song here with Emmylou Harris. She does one with Sturgill Simpson.
Oh, then, yeah.
One with Jack White.
They've guessed then. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe she was on... Yeah, she did a song. Okay, she did an album on Third Man Records. That must have been how I became familiar.
Oh. I mean, they have a pretty good track record of what comes out over there. Like Rory Scovel. The only thing I could think of wasn't music.
Hey, you're saying before this how it just kind of like it sits in that sort of slow tempo. Love it. It's so funny because it gives off the CCR vibes at first, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the reverb mixed with like intentional vibrato, it's great. I love it.
Yeah. Oh wow, I think her first album was the Third Man Records album.
Oh really?
I think so. Whew, what a voice. She's on this Spotify playlist with this artist, Sierra Farrell, who I just found out about. She does this album called, what's her new album? Called Trail of Flowers. And it's like, it's very Americana. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, this rules. So fun. The next one is Urcell.
Yeah, this one has kind of all the way, the rest of the way through. We have three more. This one, all of them are going to have like kind of slower tempos. There's always these like bossa nova takes and songs that you tend to skip, or there's, you know, I don't know, it's like they try to, bands that try to do these songs kind of like old-timey sounding or like lounge singer sounding, they're not as interesting. There's something about Urcell though, I thought this was a really cool take. It makes it sound like bossa nova Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I never saw the good side of the cedar till I hit your ride on a riverboat queen. Big wheels. I think it changes it a lot.
I You're really taking a chance putting this song in this genre, because everybody wants it to, like, go. Like, this song runs. And they just, like, hanging out with it.
It fits, though, right?
Yeah, it works really well.
And it does a lot to it. Like, it is not a, it's not a lazy cover. I'd love to know, in her bio, it says a beautiful vocalist with a panache for steampunk cosplay. That's, I don't see any evidence of that.
It doesn't come across.
Yeah, where does that come from? Why is that even brought up? Oh, she does Purple Rain. Bet you're gonna find some people who live. That would be an interesting episode someday. Hear what a whole album sounds like.
Let's go into the Love next Pool. One.
I'd love to know if that's a.
It's gotta be. There's no way, right? Two different songs
What's
are
that band
called Love
called?
Pool. Cardigans.
Cardigans, yeah. Now, whenever I hear the Cardigans, I always think about their Black Sabbath covers.
Oh, yeah. They're great. So from there, we're going to Arif Mardin.
Yes. Another much slower take on this song. He is a house producer and arranger for Atlantic Records. Man, he produced albums in the early 60s with Sonny Stitt, Freddie Hubbard. That's crazy. I didn't check to see when this was. This is 1970s. This is right after. Oh man, there's some cool songs on this too. Sympathy for the Devil, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
I would probably love to hear it sitting on the dock of the bay like this.
Right? Yeah, this is a whole album of covers. If I knew all of them, I would say what they were. Glass Onion appears to be a Beatles song? I don't think I've heard it before, though.
Yeah. I think Glass Onion, if I have it right, is the Wall versus Paul song, right?
I don't know. Wait, was Arif Mardin in Average White Band?
Hell if I know. I'm only barely aware of that band.
I just know their huge song. I had no idea it was them. Yeah, he produced Pick Up the Pieces, the one Average White Band song I know, which is an excellent song. Pretty cool. when we get our music book club going, Dan, let's see if Arif Martin has a biography. I bet it would be very interesting.
Okay. I like the idea of the book club. Maybe we can make that a Patreon thing. Wink, we have a Patreon.
Lots of cool ideas if folks sign up.
All right, we have reached the final one. We will play into break on this one. It is Billionaire Sophia.
Yeah, this is another contemporary, 2017, so not too long ago. Very different.
Yeah, it was too interesting not to include, but you know, I don't have a ton to say about it. It's just like a nice vibe version.
I like it a lot. It's like, it's so spacey sounding.
Oh yeah, the reverb and the harmonies, and it just gives you a place to be.
She's a feature on a bunch of albums. I haven't heard of all these artists. Jimmy the Planet, Black Knowledge, A Day, Jerry Parker.
All right, I'm gonna play it in a break. I'm gonna go feed the duck.
I love those drums.
All right, we are back. We just heard the end of Billionaire Sophia there. That's a nice, fun transitional song. But was it one of the standouts? What jumped out to you?
Oh gosh, I'm knee deep now in what may be our next episode. So let me just rewind a little bit. yeah, Proud Mary. You know, sometimes when we bring up these 60s songs, it's like there's so much to dig through to find the gems that it can be a little overwhelming. But I feel like this is actually pretty easy. Like we found a lot of really cool stuff. And there wasn't that much that was kind of samey.
Yeah, like even that like 60s, early 70s stuff where like everybody just pounced. Like basically CCR came out at the end of 68. And then the next two or three years, everybody was just like, I'll do it. I'll do it. My turn. I'll do it. I'm next.
Yeah. Like, and I haven't heard of a lot of these.
The cream rose
bands
to the
either.
Crop. Like, yeah. Rose to the top. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Senior Soul. I mean, I didn't know Billy Paul. So this is a fun new discovery for me.
Yeah. Billy Paul's awesome.
Check that out more.
Yeah. That's definitely like, I don't know that I loved his version more than any of the others here, but. Any reason to be like, yeah, that's a guy, go check that guy out. Billy Paul is worth your time.
Yeah, like what did I like specifically? I'm thinking more about like what bands did I learn about that I want to check out more? Like specifically, I mean, for
Joe
this
Dolan?
Song, I really
is it Joe
liked...
Dolan?
No, probably not. I mean, I am curious to hear more Joe Dolan.
I mean, that 90s cover album or whatever it was.
Oh yeah, I'd like to find that. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I'll have to hunt it down. Maybe we'll go on Discogs and see if I can just pick it up. I really liked J.R. Walker and the All-Stars.
Oh, yes.
I like that one a lot.
That's a really good one. I think the Elvis one for me might be the big standout. And maybe Take Two. And when I listen in the edit, if I can edit it into it.
Oh, now you have to put it in.
What a tumultuous time that was for me. But I'm excited
right.
Actually.
The Elvis one was really cool. I liked that one a lot. And you were right about the kind of the edge that it has.
Yeah, I see the connection from that Elvis cover to the London Calling cover, like album art cover. I'm like, oh, okay, oh, yeah. These two things actually can go together.
Good point. That's
it's
a good
not
point.
Just a ripoff.
Yeah, like the song is has already been so iconically covered by Ike and Tina Turner that it's like a lot of these don't really really stick out as covers on their own. Like they're all interesting and they kind of swim in the same waters, you know. Like they're still either taking from that CCR or Ike and Tina Turner. Maybe they're like transposing it into their style.
Yeah.
But it's like they're so clearly their own thing that
my perception,
I feel like when
it,
I hear them, I just map it to one, you know?
Yeah. After I learned that like they were two distinct things, anytime that happens, they're usually separated by a significant amount of time. But the CCR and the Ike and Tina are less than 2 years apart.
Yeah.
It was the end of 68 and somewhere in 70. I forget what actual month it came out, but like just over a year apart, two iconic versions of the same song came out. That like really messes with my perception of this song, of time, of how music works. Like,
yeah, it's not like I'll Always Love You, where it was like so clear, you know, and there's like such a clear cut over. Yeah. I really loved, I mean, Cambodian Space Project.
Yeah.
What is it called? It's Project, right? Cambodian Space Project. Atomic Forest is like incredible.
Yeah, Atomic
Indian
Forest
Psych
is one.
Was not something I thought we'd be listening to today. So that is awesome.
I'll definitely be going checking that out. I think,
also,
I mean, those are definitely the big ones for me. Maybe the Bill Emerson one, but
I was
like,
just going to say that.
His name's come up before and I haven't, you know, followed up. So I don't know that this will be the time that I do.
Has it really?
But,
I don't even remember,
you know,
that.
I don't know if it's on the show or just in my general life, but like, it's not an unfamiliar name.
Okay. I mean, the Lightning Born, that's one that really,
oh,
really
sure,
stuck out to me. I want
yeah,
to listen
I'll
to
let
more
you,
of that.
I'll let you get to that one.
Yeah, I'll find all the good stuff. Don't worry.
My big takeaway, Tom Jones should have been here.
We'll do a Tom Jones only covers album.
Yeah,
sometime.
We're going to have to just to like, you know, we did it. We're done with it. Like how we did Limp Bizkit on the Who episode. It's like we're done with it. That box is officially checked forever. We don't have to reference it anymore. We're good. We can do that with a Tom Jones episode. But that won't be the next one. John, what are we doing next? It's you're up. What's the choice?
Yep, we're doing Purple Rain. Inspired by Roussel. Yeah. I'm super excited. Prince has always been kind of on the outside of my music world. I'm, you know, always familiar with him. I know he's like a ripping guitarist, soul. I know he's his own thing. People love him. People who like all different genres love him. So I know there's something there. I just haven't really taken the time.
Yeah, everybody knows
him,
how to,
you know?
Like make an excuse for their Prince fandom. It's weird. Like everyone feels like they have to. They're like, you can't just like Prince. You have to explain why you like Prince. And I don't know. Maybe we'll be able to unpack that with the covers that come with it. But like, I don't know. Sometimes when somebody's just that good, you can just be like, I don't know, he's that good. Like,
I've heard it the
there's
other
no
way
real
around.
Explanation. He's just that good.
Yeah, I've heard it the other way around, where like it'll be like a punk band. It'll be like, what are your influences? And it's like, oh, you know, Fugazi, Prince. And I'm just like, wow, interesting. It's fascinating.
That was
I
like
need to hear more.
When all of like the kind of early 2000s, like emo-ish bands started like naming their influences, and it was like Modest Mouse a lot of the time.
Exactly.
It was like, it's like, wait, what do you mean? You don't sound like Modest Mouse. But then as you dig in, you're like, oh, I get what you're saying now.
Yeah. So I want to hear more of that. Like, I know, I've heard some of his guitar on, where he plays on While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Oh, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame one. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just insane. And when I hear Prince, I hear more of the, I don't know. Is it Purple Rain? I don't really know. Like, I honestly, I never really pay attention to him. This is
I
embarrassing.
mean,
I'm
let's
admitting it
go
all
crazy
here.
feels like it's having a moment that like everybody is like suddenly remembering Let's Go Crazy, maybe for the spoken word intro, but like they even do like the spoken word intro in Sing, I think it is. In like Sing One or Sing Two, they
Really?
do Let's Go Crazy with the spoken word intro. It's like,
Wow.
all right. So it's permeated society in a way that feels very strange even for Prince's legacy. But maybe we'll be able to unpack all that with the Purple Rain episode. I'm very excited.
Yeah, this is gonna be really fun to research.
All right, we will be back in 2 weeks with our Purple Rain episode. Bye.
Bye.
I never meant to cause you any sorrow.
This has been a presentation from the Wasted Robot Network. For more information and links to other shows, please visit www.wastedrobotrecords.com/podcasts.
To see you laughing.